You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I will start by the interview with the chief censor, that is David Shanks, about what censorship is, who he is, and about the censorship of the manifesto of the Christchurch shooter. I started by asking him what his role was.
As the chief censor, I run an office which is responsible for classifying films, videos and publications, and that's wide-ranging. Most commonly, people will know us for classifying films, cinema releases, and sometimes DVDs and series sets, sometimes games. That's the commercial side of our operation. Beyond that, we do extensive crown work where we are dealing with publications referred to us by agencies like the police, customs, and Department of Internal Affairs.
Right. So how would you describe what censorship or censoring is?
Well, censoring, in my formulation of it, is a process of working through what material may present a harm to the public and working out what is the least intervention required to manage that harm. In other words, what we try and do is start with a platform of assuming that access to information, widespread freedom of access to information, is a fundamental right for all New Zealanders. So what we do is look at publications, look at whether they present a harm, and figure out what is the most minimal intervention to manage that harm.
So in the instance of the manifesto of the Christchurch shooter, which has been decided to be censored, what judgment goes towards that in terms of harm?
So when we're looking at a document of this kind, which is fundamentally, in our view, a document designed to promote terrorist causes and to promote hateful crimes and murder, we step it through a framework that is contained in our Act. So we are required to assess, does this document actually promote terrorism and crime? And in coming to that assessment, we take into account the context of the document, what it is, what media it is in, what its intended audience may be, and all other considerations we can bring to bear in assessing, how serious is this? Is this a document that really is serious about promoting a terrorist and criminal cause?
Yeah, certainly. So the video is kind of relatively obvious as to why that is censored in relation to promoting terrorist causes. However, how do you judge whether something is promoting those kind of values or causes?
Well, there's various things that we look for and look at in a document of this kind. And we're practiced in that in terms of assessing other terrorist publications from sometimes known terrorist organisations such as ISIS. So what we look for is there actual specific incentivisation to kill or to commit terrorism? Is there any discussion of means by which followers may do this? Is there justification for such acts in terms of ideology and conceptual frameworks to bring to bear? And also importantly, is there status or apparent status from the author to indicate that this is serious? This is not an offhanded or academic discourse. This is a serious promotional document from someone who has actually done this or is part of a cause that actually does these.
Right. So the decision to censor, just for the listeners who may not understand or know, are your decisions enforceable or are they simply recommendations for a different authority to make a decision upon?
They are completely enforceable. So once we have classified a document as objectionable, then that attracts the full weight of the law, and that attracts some very high potential penalties in terms of jail time, which can be acted upon by various enforcement agencies.
Right. So free speech advocates, or the Free Speech Coalition, I guess some people would label them, have said that the decision to classify the document is kind of an improper use of censorship powers. Is there any reason or way that you can kind of understand or see what they're trying to say, or do you think that their decision is purely based on their own interest?
Oh, look, I think in any situation where a decision has been made by an office such as mine to prevent New Zealanders from accessing a document, there is absolutely an open question to be tested about whether that is the right call. So I welcome debate about whether we have brought the right framework to bear and whether actually the rights of New Zealanders to access information should be paramount in this case. So there's a well-recognised board of review process where people can take our decisions for review, and I believe that people will be following that process, and I welcome that. I would also say part of the commentary that I've seen around this is that this decision will stifle analysis of this document, will stifle unnecessarily reporting on this document, will not allow the right officials and agencies access to it. Now, that's not true. I think it's really important for listeners to be aware that there is an exemption process that we're already activating for journalists and academics to get an exemption so that they have proper access to this document.
Right. And so for those that have kind of retrospectively seen the document or read the document, what happens with them?
Well, what happens with them, as I've said also about the video, you know, we recognised as soon as we classified the video that there is evidence that many, many New Zealanders saw this video in the immediate aftermath of this attack. And people should not be concerned about that if they had this material pushed to them, or, you know, they clicked on it, it was widely available and they were curious at the time. So people should not have anxiety around that. If you have a copy of this manifesto, if you've saved it to a disk, delete and destroy. Just get rid of it now. That's what people should do. Under no circumstances should anyone now be republishing it, sending it to others, putting it on boards. That is clearly not what you do with this material now.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.